morning. This is Carol Moyle, Committee Assistant, Environment and Energy Committee. Today is Friday, July 8th, 10 a.m. Hearing room 257. Agenda for today includes a work session on Senate Bill 237B relating to exclusive farm use zones and marginal lands.
The Environment and Energy will come to order. As I recall, we were on page 9 yesterday. I apologize that once again we are out and not being able to vote on some of the bills. I know it's a problem for me. Hopefully we can get through as much of this as possible. We will be back in here. Let's meet at 1 so we have time before session starts this afternoon.
Madam Chair.
Representative Pugh.
Why don't we, it's 11:30. I was going to say, why don't we complete our action before 1, then we want to meet. Okay.
We were on line 14 through 18, and we wanted an explanation of what this did or didn't do, and I think, who is in the process of giving that explanation to us? Russ.
I'm sure I don't know.
What line?
Yeah, so
everybody was asleep. That's why we're going to start all over again on that section.
What was the
vote? Well, not everybody, but several members of this committee certainly were.
See, now this is on what? This is in the EFU section of the bill?
This is in the EFU section of the bill. And this line 17 through 19 related to the court case. And on homestead. Russ, and you were going to explain what happens when, you know, a farmer had an old house and then built a new house.
Yeah, homestead.
Homestead.
Yes, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. I'm not speaking from Marion County's perspective here because we don't use homesteads, but other counties, as I understand it, have criteria of one sort or another that indicate that in their EFU zone, if a legitimate farm operation has a dwelling that was constructed a number of years ago, and sometimes it's 25 years, 40 years, whatever back, that represents the original homestead. And if there's a generational shift or a shift from one family ownership to somebody else who wants to take over the farm and run it, and that person wants to either allow the older generation to continue living in the house or doesn't desire to live in the house that's there, that they can, through the non-farm partitioning process, break that house off. And it does become a non-farm parcel, but I guess in those counties they feel that because that house has historically been a part of that farm and the people that are going to be occupying, at least in the immediate future, were related to that farm, that the kinds of conflicts that you typically find with non-farm dwellings aren't going to exist. And LCDC has acknowledged a number of EFU zones with that type of a provision in it, as long as they can make the findings that are required for a non-farm dwelling. And the point I was making is that in the bill as proposed, non-farm dwelling conditional use permits are limited to class 4 through 8 soils, and many of those homesteads, of course, would be located on class 1 to 3 soils, and so those counties would have to stop administering that portion of their EFU zone and immediately comply with this one if this EFU zone becomes effective on the adoption of the bill. And that is going to represent something of a hardship for those communities. It's part of their program. Maybe in some people's judgment it's not the strongest part of their farm protection program and should be changed, but if you've worked on the counter in a planning office and spent years explaining to people what you can and can't do in your EFU zone, and then all of a sudden it changes, people have made their life's plans or their estate preparations and other kinds of things based on what the ordinance will allow, and then the state comes along and changes it, and that creates some complications.
Sure. Representative Anderson.
I would move conceptually that we grandparent local ordinances in regard to homesteads.
Madam Chair.
I've got a question.
Representative Parkinson and Representative Trahan.
My question is, now Russ, when there's an old home, they want to build a new home,
So they split off the old home and the yard, okay? Right. A new tax lot is created?
Yes.
Okay, now you say the person that lives there probably is compatible with farming. How do we know 10 years from now the person that lives there is still compatible with farming? Wouldn't they sell it to whoever would buy it and pay the best price?
That's one of the concerns about the homestead provision, and if we were to do it in Marion County, and I know that some of the other counties, they use these kinds of statements that Representative Van Leeuwen is proposing, where you indicate you're not going to object to farming practices, and they try to design the parcel in such a way so that there is a buffer between the house and the remaining farmland. Whether or not those are adequate to overcome the compatibility problems is a judgment question.
Now, Madam Chair,
yes,
it would appear then that farmers would be put into a special class. They could contribute to non-farm uses out there, but nobody else could. I'm not sure that's equitable.
At least not on Class 1 to 3 soil, that's true.
I imagine it.
Madam Chair?
Representative Traher and then Representative Truitt.
Question, I guess, and perhaps LCDC could help us with it. Looking at Representative Anderson's motion to allow the grandfathering of grandparenting, whatever, of these...
Grandmothering.
There you go. Of these particular situations, my question would be what would in those counties that are not yet acknowledged that may well want to have this in their plan and treat those counties the same as the ones that are acknowledged once they become acknowledged. So whether his motion would address that issue or not, I don't know.
Ron?
Ron Eber, DLCD. It would really depend on the legislation. If the legislation only grandfathers the acknowledged ones and you change the statute, then we will be bound by what the statute says. If non-farm dwellings are only allowed on Class 4 through 8 soils, then a homestead partition that involved 1 through 3 soils would not be allowable in that form. I would point out that there is a provision now in the exclusive farm use zone for second farm dwellings for family members that can be allowed outright on the existing farm parcel, and that in some ways mitigates the problem because someone could retain their original farmstead and a family member can get another dwelling on the original farm parcel to keep the farm operation going, and there's no need for a partition or anything in that instance.
Would this bill, the way it is currently written, Ron, allow that to continue happening, that a second member of that family to build a home on that farm is an outright use?
You haven't amended that provision. It's, I think, 215, 213, sub 1, E or F, something.
Madam Chair.
I had Representative Truitt next.
Let's see, Representative Traeger, I'm finishing.
Representative Traeger.
Given your explanation, the place where we could have a problem is when the retiring farmer wants to sell the farm and live in his house. Is that really where the problem could still exist?
Yeah, when you have the partition, that's why we've made them go through the non-farm criteria, because you've partitioned it off, and then at the point that the farmer, he sells the remaining parcel to
someone else,
maybe a family member, maybe someone else, yeah. And then they're going to want a farm-related dwelling. And then when the farmer dies, then he may sell it to a neighbor, or it may be sold to someone else.
But if he sells the farm and wants to retain the house to other than a family member, it's where the problem could occur. Is that my understanding?
Yes, that's when you have to go through the partitioning process.
Madam Chair?
Representative Truitt.
A question for Ron, then I have another question for some other people. Where does the life estate come into this discussion that Representative Traeher is entertaining now?
It's an option that's available to the members. It doesn't require partitioning. It's a matter of an agreement between the retiring farmer and either the family member or the person that they sell their property to.
So that would certainly mitigate the problem.
It's an available tool. What I understand about it is a lot of people just don't like to do that. They like the partition because it's cleaner. And they don't know a lot about the life estate. Maybe some of the planners could speak to that, who have had to deal with that over the counter.
Madam Chair, I'd like to ask, I'd like to get the farmer's perspective on this particular question, and that they probably have one that I would be most interested in listening to. I noticed that we have Matt and Carl here today, the president of Agriculture for Oregon, and Lois and Scott. These three are probably well qualified to address that concern from the farmer's perspective. Could we?
Yes, I would like to hear from them as to what kinds of problems this has been, and if it is a problem, and the extent of that problem.
Any
one or all three of the representative members?
I wanted the ORS again that Ron gave.
215-213, section 1.
1E.
Sub 1E.
But I was hoping what happened, Madam Chairperson, would someone would lay out the problem, kind of maybe almost on the blackboard, and put the various kinds of situations. It sounds like maybe there's as many as five.
Sure.
And the statutes
turn that
are
over and save that.
Statutes are covering two or three.
Yeah, turn that over.
But there maybe is one or two.
Oh, no, there isn't anything on the other side. Can't do that.
We remember that.
Right.
Excuse me, Wally. Well, probably just out of five, there's probably one or two maybe that Andy and George are pointing out to us aren't covered, and we can.
Yes, Matt or Scott, either one of you, please feel free.
This.
I need your name for the record.
Matt and Carl, 13324 Carl Road, Hubbard. I'm a farmer in the northern part of Marion County. Spent some years on Marion County Planning Commission. Have been actively farming all my life. And the homestead provision.
Also, as president of Agriculture for Oregon.
Yes, we're very and vitally interested in it, and it seems to me that what they're trying to do, or some at least are trying to do, is to look out for the developers in an EFU zone, and this is a farm zone that we're talking about, as I understand it, an EFU zone, and it would be similar to if someone sold a business, and the owner of the business had owned it for a number of years, and he could retain the right of a section of that building to that he would have a right by law that he could retain that and do what he wished with it, and the future owner would have to live with that. Now, I'll cite in my knowledge around my area, there is no one that has wanted to retain a farmstead to live on it unless they took a life estate, unless they just wanted to hold it for a short time and then sell it to somebody else because they could get a higher price out of it by selling it as an individual parcel rather than selling it with the farm. And it's taking the key out of it's the office part of the farm operation. This is a farm factory, this is a business. And it'd be similar to someone having a parcel in town and retaining this. The problem is being addressed, I feel, in the wrong way. That we have to recognize that this is an ongoing business operation, and it should be maintained, and the whole area, like an industrial area, that you can't make exceptions to for a particular individual so that he can make a little more money out of his sale and stay there when he has the option of a life lease, which many don't know about, but when they do learn about it, if they truly only want to live there, it solves their problem. And a number of mine area, they have done that. And because in Marion County we do not have that provision, they've availed themselves of it. And but it does leave a problem if you allow these homesteads for the next owner.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, we are now on a call. We will try to come back, and I do want to meet again at 1 o'clock.
We're done until 1?
I think the way things are going this morning, I think we should just stay in there and come back here. Please be prompt so we can get right at it at 1 o'clock.
Thanks, ma'am. Sorry.
Thank you. Sorry.
Can you be around at 1, ma'am?
Yeah. I hope you will all be around at 1.
Good to see you.
meeting of Environment and Energy will come to order.
Are we out of order again? We just lost a member.
As I recall, we have a motion on the table, and we had, in the middle of a sentence, by Matthew. Can anybody remember exactly where we left off?
Manager.
I know we're talking about homesteads and about...
Refresh me, what was the motion?
The motion was to grandparent in the homestead provision.
For those that were already had one, wasn't that it? I guess that is grandparenting.
Yes, and I think there was some discussion whether that would be only for those that had acknowledged plans or it sounded to me like it would not apply for those that did not have acknowledged plans. That was my understanding. Manton, can you remember where you left off?
I was prepared to answer other questions. I think I just finished. And the motion, as I heard, it wasn't completed. I didn't hear it all, or if the rest of them, I don't know.
I think the motion was that we were discussing and that we had questions about was whether we should grandparent in the homestead exemption provision. And what happened with that, and the questions that I was trying to get to, either from you or Scott, was what kinds of problems have there been with the homestead provision that maybe we can have. Oh, I see someone's here from Clackamas County. There may be other people here from other counties, Linn County. Russ stated that Marion County currently didn't allow that.
Madam Chair.
Scott.
Scott Hushkin with the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. I have to attend a conference committee right away, so I'll just give you our position on it.
Okay.
The Farm Bureau. Our policy is that we're opposed to all new non-farm uses in exclusive farm use zones, and the idea is that a farming zone is analogous to an industrial zone in a city or a suburban area, and just as new residences are not allowed in industrial zones because the activity that the zone was created to foster is industrial activity, that new non-farm uses in exclusive farm use zones, according to our policy, should not be allowed in exclusive farm use areas. Now, that doesn't touch of the idea of whether or not all of the land that has been included in exclusive farm use zones, in fact, belongs there or should have been included in the first place in the zone. And that's what we thought the marginal land provision of the bill was attempting to address. As for the homestead provision, the homestead activities, as we understand it, there is no statute in the state of Oregon which allows homesteads to go on at all. It's really sort of a loophole because the commission has interpreted that people who make applications for so-called homestead exceptions would be allowed to do so by taking advantage of the non-farm use statutes in 215, I believe, in that chapter, 213.3. Keeping in mind the fact that about 90%, according to our studies and others, 90% of all applications for non-farm dwellings in exclusive farm use zones are being approved, we've opposed that, and we believe that the law should be, the Goal 3 should be rigorously enforced in this matter. This is the reason why we've continued to support the marginal lands bill is because page 11, lines 11 through 13, it seems to take care of that with the life estate provisions. It reads that a person who sells or otherwise transfers real property in exclusive farm use zone may retain a life estate in a dwelling on that property and in a tract of land under and around the dwelling. Note that there's no acreage limitation on this whatsoever, And it seems as though the concerns that that people have raised in defense of the so-called homestead provisions, which don't exist in statute anyway, would be addressed in statute for the first time by this provision. So we favor this provision rather than the activity that goes on in these counties.
Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
Scott, under current law, line 7 through 10 on page 11, could a person have a life estate? Excuse me. What lines did I give you? Lines 11, 12, and 13 is what I meant. Right now, they could have a life estate, couldn't they? Or could they?
Madam Chair, Representative.
That's page 11.
11. Representative Parkinson. Pursuant to the provisions of this Act, lines 11 through 13, a life estate would be allowable in statute, as I understand it for the first time, without an acreage limitation. In statute.
Representative
Back to Representative Parkinson's question, Scott. Under current law, not this bill, but current law, what's the situation?
I can't answer that in terms of current law. You'd probably have to talk to an attorney about that.
People do it all the time, Chair. Mm-hmm. In Dick, my community. Do you have some info on this? I have to go. Okay, thanks, Scott, for hanging around.
Dick Benner, 1,000 Friends. The life estate option is presently available under the law, but it's a private thing. I mean, it's not recognized anywhere in statute. And that means that a lot of people don't know about it, because you have to sort of, you have to know something about the arcane ins and outs of
real estate law
before you understand that there is such a thing as a life estate. I mean, people who get involved in estate planning are probably going to hear about it from an estate planner. But one of the reasons for putting it in here is that people who don't know about it become aware of that as an option for this situation that develops for the farmer.
Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
What you're saying is this neither gives any more right or takes any more right away than we have now.
That's right.
And the educational part of it would be the old farmer getting ready to retire and sitting there thumbing through his ORSs. And he'd come across it and think that might apply.
The advantage of having it here is that
by candlelight,
county planners and county councils who may not know anything about estate planning would know that it's an option, and they may not know that now. I'd like to say a bit about the homestead thing, if I might.
Madam Chair, may I go back to life estate?
Yes,
for just a minute. I think I'll take just a little bit of an exception here, because I think the life estate provision is pretty well known out in the country, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I know of instances in my county and in other counties, and it's a general topic of discussion when people are thinking of selling a piece of property or retiring and turning it over to someone else.
You don't have to take an exception. It's an outright yes.
What? That wasn't the that wasn't the kind of exception I was referring to, sir. But I do think it's commonly known.
Madam Chair. Representative Turner.
Quick comment. I'm a little upset that the insinuation was made that county planners don't know anything about real estate law, because I believe that's true.
I think some do and some may not.
Who made they should.
Who made that?
Don't ask me.
Have you taken several real estate courses?
My staff
They may not, Representative Trainer, and their staff may know.
Your county has staff left?
Dick, you wanted to say something about the homestead provision.
I did some research about a year and a half ago, so it's old, but I looked through the EFU ordinances of all 36 counties and found that I couldn't get all of the ordinances. I think I found about three quarters of them, but I found 16 counties that authorize homestead parcels. I would also say that I've spent a lot of time looking at EFU decisions that counties have made during the past 2 years, and they use the homestead provision fairly frequently, and of course it varies from county to county. Some counties don't use it much, other counties use it quite a bit. In Clackamas County, in the last 4 months of 1981, they approved the creation of 6 homestead parcels in that quarter, in that third of the year. And so that would probably, you know, if you extrapolate that out to an annual basis, that would be about 18 a year in Clackamas County. Something else I think the committee should be aware of, once again, I think Clackamas County is the right example. The image you may have in your mind about how this ideally would work is a farmer with 100 acres who wants to retire, has been farming for 15, 20, 30 years, wants to retire, and wants to stay out there and live on the farm. No harm done, perhaps. But as a matter of fact, in the 6 instances in Clackamas County, when this homestead provision was taken advantage of, it was on parcels less than 30 acres. There were no limitations imposed on how long the person had to be out there farming. It could have been somebody who picked up the 30 acres several years earlier and really wasn't much interested in farming. The only limitation in the Clackamas County ordinance after that parcel was created, in other words, you have a 27-acre piece and you take out the 2 acres under the existing dwelling, is that the person who buys the remaining 25 or 24 can't do it again. But here's the problem that you confront. You're losing a farm dwelling. So if the person who purchases the remainder parcel wants a farm dwelling, you have to have another dwelling, so you're doubling the density. You now have a farm dwelling and a non-farm dwelling on the parcel. You're also creating an irritant for the farmer who buys the remainder parcel. And maybe it's not going to be a problem next year or the year after that, or maybe for 5 years, but after that, when that farm family decides to move to town or the farmer dies or whatever, that then you have a non-farm parcel that can be transferred to anybody. And it can be some folks who want to come out and just live in the country. In my reading of the existing statute is the homestead, what a lot of counties are doing and what LCDC has seen fit to allow, is illegal. It's not allowed under the current statute. You have to pervert application of the non-farm dwelling criteria to allow a homestead under existing law. Under existing law, you can allow a non-farm dwelling and the creation of a non-farm parcel only if it's on land that's generally unsuitable for farm use. Well, here we've got a farm dwelling in the middle of a farm that's on class 2 or 3 soil or 1 soil. Well, how can you find that land's unsuitable for farm use? Well, the way the counties do it, and LCDs has signed off on this, unfortunately, is, well, you can't farm the land because there's a house on it. Well, it's a farmhouse. That doesn't mean it's unsuitable for farming any more than land under a barn is unsuitable for farming. You have to pervert. In order to approve this, you have to twist this statute all out of shape. It's really not authorized by the current statute and shouldn't be allowed to continue. And there is a solution. There's a complete satisfactory solution to the situation that has been presented to you, the farmer who wants to retire, and that is the life estate. I talked to Marvin Gloge about it, the planning director from Linn County, who's been in the hearings recently. As far as he's concerned, he thinks it's a fine answer. It's just what he said is a lot of people just don't know about it, and hence they don't take advantage of it.
Marvin.
I'll have to take partial exception. Marvin Gloge, County Planning Directors in Linn County. We do not have a homestead provision in our ordinance. We're contemplating putting one in at this time. We do have instances where the circumstances arise that have been discussed here. I couldn't give you any statistics. I haven't prepared any for this meeting. The instances, I would characterize Dick Benner's comments slightly differently. We often do try to discuss the life estate provisions with people. General reaction that we've had from people, particularly those that have gone through the process, is that I'm not aware of any instance where a life estate actually has been an option that has been accepted by people that have gone through the process. Now, I can't tell you why they haven't accepted it, except that there must be personal, financial, or legal reasons that are involved in their decisions. But we have been basically, through the hearings, through the process, we've been basically unsuccessful in getting any kind of acceptance. I would agree with Dick that I think the concept has a lot of merit. I'd like to see us have a greater degree of success than we have had with it, but to date, I'm not aware. I can't cite a single instance where, when we've gone through an actual application process, where a life estate has been an option that a party has chosen. I'd be more than willing to advertise it in the office to provide educational materials to the public, but it's just the material, to my knowledge, is not available, and I think it would be useful.
Representative Parkinson and Representative Manlohan.
Madam Chair, there might not even be anyone here that can answer my question, but the thing that was running around my head is the Oregon Home and Farm Loan Program. Now, if a veteran was trying to buy a farm that had a home on it and the farmer that wanted to sell it wanted a life estate, would that affect the loan? Would that make them not able to get it, or would it not affect it, or a bank? Does anybody know the answer?
We have some real estate people there, don't we?
And maybe they can answer it at a later time so that it wouldn't disturb the present person.
That's a good question.
Representative Van Loan.
If I remember correctly, the committee, maybe...